Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. My name is Dirk, I'm your host, and we are approaching weekend 41, and I'm looking forward to some sun again. It's coming though, I'm pretty sure. If you want to know what's happening in the area, please go to lakelifeweekend.com, and we have the latest updates, event schedule, we have news stories, we have destination tips for you, and we are actually in the need of your help. If you can think of your most favorite place in Lakes Country, whether it be a park or a restaurant or just something that you'd like to do, we collect your votes, and then we will send out destination awards this fall to various places. So email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, or actually on our Facebook page, we have a post that is asking for your insight and your vote. Many people have already been active on that comment section, so please feel free to drive to our Facebook page and leave your comment with your most favorite destination in Lakes Country for our destination award this year. Thank you for that. Also, always feel free to send us an email with any ideas, suggestions, and those kinds of things. Yeah, I don't want to actually keep this very long here. We have another portrait in this episode of Jack Chivers, the founder of Jack Chivers Realty, and he is telling his story on how he came to Lakes Country and what he has been doing, serving many, many, many people, relocating here, and he has been in the business for over 50 years, and he definitely is an icon. So please enjoy our interview with Jack Chivers. Well, hello, I'm here with Jack Chivers from Detroit Lakes, and you don't know Jack. I think that's a question we can ask. You probably have seen his name on multiple real estate signs when you were driving through Lakes Country, and I'm here with him today to learn a little bit about him and his history and how he came to Lakes Country. Welcome, Jack.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for coming, and I believe you came to Lakes Country. Where are you from?
Born and raised in a suburb of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I born in Pittsburgh in 1941, went into the Navy, saw the world, and then decided I didn't want to live in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was, at that point in time, it's completely changed now, was a little bit depressed because the steel mills were laying off people. And so I went on the road. I had football scholarships all across the United States. Ended up in Fargo, North Dakota. In Fargo, North Dakota, which everybody figured that I was on the frontier fighting the wars. From Pittsburgh, they didn't know much about Fargo, but I was on the way back to Detroit Lakes on a 4th of July weekend. I had so much fun, I stayed. Therefore, I needed to find a vocation, and
when was that exactly?
This actually was April 1966.
Ah, yeah.
And I hooked up with a company out of Minneapolis called Calhoun Realty Company, and they were licensed in four or five states, and I covered initially North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota for Calhoun Realty. I sold businesses. My first sale in this region was the Little Lebanon Supper Club out on Hydaland Lake. My second sale of any substance was the Flickertail Motel in Valley City, North Dakota. I sold that for Al Foss out of Valley City. And my career went on after that.
So you came here to be a football athlete, and then you saw Detroit Lakes, you liked it, you stayed, you made a life around it, finding a job, and then you started real estate, actually in commercial real estate.
That's how I started out. I hooked up with Kellen really in 1966. Actually, back in those days, I was known as a football bum.
Okay.
So I went from college to college, and whoever needed a lineman or a defensive lineman, whoever needed that at the time, would recruit us, and that's what I did.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know too much about that. You know, I'm not from here originally. Okay, but so tell us a little bit more about your lake life. So when you arrived in Detroit Lakes and stayed in Detroit Lakes, what was lake life to you in the 60s and 70s, or in general, up today?
Well, I started out the first night I was in Detroit Lakes. I found a party and ended up sleeping on the floor of a cottage on the South Shore of Big Detroit. I woke up in the morning and thought I died and went to heaven. And so I had to figure out how I was going to spend the rest of my life here. I felt Detroit Lakes was underpromoted, and it was a strong bedroom community of Fargo-Moorhead, but it had an identity of its own that wasn't being promoted, was my feeling.
Okay.
And so I shopped around for a company that had a larger reach, and I found Calhoun Ritty in Minneapolis, who worked four or five states at that time. They had 400 salespeople at that time working for the company. And
oh, that's large already.
Yeah, it was a big company. It was the second probably biggest company at that time in the Minneapolis area. I think Edina was number three.
Oh, wow.
So I met with the sales manager or vice president of sales and told him I wanted to be their agent. And he came up here. I was pretty optimistic. I met him in the Edgewater, which doesn't exist anymore, the Edgewater Hotel. And he was a big guy, and we were surprised to find out that he had to look up to me. And his eyes were big and round, and he gave me three listing sheets and three purchase agreements. And I looked at him, and I said, is this all you're going to give me? And he said, well, you use these up, I'll fly more up to you. So that was the start of my career.
Huh.
I did shop around a little bit. Looked at other real estate companies, and I was surprised to find out they didn't have any advertising budget, so I went to one local company, unnamed at this point, and told them I wanted to get in the real estate business and that I could go list $1 million worth of property in a month. And the guy looked at me and said, well, anybody can do that. And he probably had $100,000 in listings at the time. I said, but to do for that, I want you to guarantee me $5,000 in the advertising budget my first year. He says, I haven't spent that since I've been in business. Well, that was a problem. I saw what my opening was. Marketing takes money.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I found a company, Callen Realty, it wasn't scared to spend money, and that's why I hooked up with them. 13 years with them.
Okay, and tell us a little bit more about that. So you were traveling the tri-state area, working in real estate, and until you really focused on the Lakes area?
Well, actually, and it wasn't a complete focus in the Lakes area when I changed companies, but I was with them for 13 years. And nice thing about it, I listed stuff on 494 in France out of here because the owner was out of here. And I listed stuff in Western North Dakota. I sold the Volney Lanes in Williston, North Dakota. So I wasn't scared to get in my car and drive somewhere for a deal. So starting out, I did sell a little bit of Lakeshore, but I was pretty much purely commercial and what they call business opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my real love, business opportunities, because not very many people have the tools to sell business opportunities.
Mm, and that is like an operating business, like a hotel, a restaurant.
Correct.
A newspaper, you name it.
Correct.
That's a business opportunity. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're still active.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think some of my competitors might be telling people that I'm retired, but I'm far from retired.
Yeah, they like to spread that rumor, I'm sure.
Correct, yes.
Well, okay, that's really fascinating. So you found heaven in 1966, and you decided that will be the center of your life, and you made it your home, and you have never really left, or you have always stayed in a way. And how do you define lake life, though? I think you have been enjoying lake life year-round. You did winter sports and summers. You were a jet skier. No, what is it called? A jet ski, yeah. And you were a snowmobiler. Tell me a little bit about how you enjoyed lake life.
Well, it was about 1967, I believe, that in 66 I started, and I was doing other things. I was racing snowmobiles, and in 1967 I had blown an engine. I'm sitting on the sidelines and discouraged and everything. That's when I decided I was going to be full-time real estate business. That was kind of a leap of faith, because back then everybody figures things shut down for 6 months in this area. Well, we proved that's not true.
Yeah.
And of course I did do my commercial real estate, which involved a lot of driving. I had listings in Canada. I had a motel called the Capri Motel that I had listed in Winnipeg, and I've sold resorts in Canada. So I moved around in a pretty large geographic area to find the inventory I was looking for.
So, okay, I understand. So you balance pretty much, because you have been working a lot, you have been on the road a lot.
Yes.
You really worked hard. And then this Lakes Country just balanced you. In the private time, you were able to recharge, to reconnect, recenter. So with a lot of work, the lake always gave you back some energy?
That's a good point. But I'd be out listing people's businesses and motels for sale out in the Dakotas, for example, talking about my place at the lake. So everybody that I dealt with out there after I sold their business, just about 100% of them came down and bought lake homes. So I was selling the major business people from the Dakotas, I was selling them their lake homes, and they were all higher end lake homes. So it worked out hand in hand. In fact, if we go around the lake, and I can show you properties that I sold in the late 60s to people who I sold their business for them in North Dakota.
Okay, you sold the business, and then right away you kind of passed their retirement home.
Correct, correct, yeah.
But you have not sold in Arizona yet?
I have. I was just thinking about that.
So. You maybe networked.
Yeah.
So, okay, and you're not a snowbird, right? You're here year-round forever. You never owned a property in Arizona or something, did
not
you?
Not Arizona, but you can remember I built a resort in Central America, a little country called Belize. I had condos in Texas. I've had condos in Florida that I've traded properties for. So I've done business down south. I had a very large resort fishing operation for sale in Mexico. Meeting the variety of people that you meet who live in Detroit Lakes, I had a lot of opportunities offered to me in other parts of the country.
To see. And tell me about Belize. You just mentioned Belize. Was that, when was that, late, early 80s? You spent time in Belize and built a resort?
Yes. I had a client, a very well-known local client who is a beer distributor, and he was one of these people, if the fishing was good, he'd sleep on a rock. And he had a place in Canada, and he hunted and fished all over the world. Well, I had sold him a travel agency, and through that travel agency, he had made a trip to a little country called Belize, and he came back and said, it's absolutely amazing. And of course, I was busy 7 days a week working, but he drugged me kicking and screaming back down to Belize. And I mean, we flew in a little airplane over to an island. As we're flying over, the cargo door flew open. Somebody's luggage ended up in the ocean.
And, really?
And I'm landing there in this dusty, hot little place thinking, what am I doing here? It took me a half an hour to think, wow, this place is charming. So consequently, how this happened, I ended up buying the travel agency, which I sold him back from him, and in that they had a division called Magnum America's Hunting and Fishing Tours. Well, we put together a group of investors and we built this resort in Belize on a little island called Ambergris Cay, or Key, depending on what part of the world you're from. And there started another venture that stemmed out of my real estate sales in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota.
Wow, how long have you spent in Belize?
You know, I'm going to say that was about an eight, nine-year project.
Oh, wow. So yeah. you built something from nothing? You made a resort because you've seen a lot, like you had some experience, and then people are traveling there still? Is it still there?
Oh yeah. Actually, I forgot about that connection. Prior to that, I had personally sold over 130 resorts in Minnesota and Canada. So I had a little experience in resorts. Not in hands-on operations, but
numbers and size.
Yeah, so it was something I had already dreamed about, and I had a partner that had the money and the inclination to finance it, and we put it together, and it's still in existence now. It's called Captain Morgan's Retreat on Ambergris Cay. The family of my partner is operating it now.
Okay. Fascinating. Have you been there yet in the past 10 years? Have you seen
it? I kind of know. I did that. I was in the country of Belize, according to my passport, 87 times.
Oh.
So I still have some really good friends that are in Belize that operate businesses there, but that place had its time for me. It's like everything, it's changing, and I'm not happy with some of the changes I've seen. Mm. People aren't so innocent, and there's changes.
Sure.
Going
with
on.
Development, yeah. Economic growth,
that
possibly.
Always,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me about. Let's go back to Lakes Country. What was the first lake you lived on?
First lake I lived on was Pelican.
Big Pelican, huh?
Correct.
And is that one of the most popular lakes, you think?
Yeah, Pelican is one of the three popular lakes, or four popular lakes in this region. For a long time, Pelican was number one. It's been pushed by Detroit Lake because of the city sewer and water all around Detroit Lakes, and the police protection and the fire protection.
Hospital close by.
Yeah, hospital close by. I think that the Pelican is still a great lake. It's just if you're gonna not bring your own family, Pelican can be a little bit lonely because there's more places to go out and eat and drink and meet people on Detroit.
Yeah. We have multiple restaurants.
Yeah.
You can even drive your boat up to
two or three more, I think, just this year alone.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's just one opening up end of the month also by the marina, by the new Hub 14 or something it's called. Hub 41, I think it's called.
Oh, that's the first I heard that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the name by the pavilion there next to Lakeside. No, it's true. We have like probably seven just by the lake. You can, I think it's fascinating. You can drive your boat right onto a lot of them. And no, I understand. So Detroit Lake is definitely, I mean, it's a city all around. It's different Big Pelican. So Big Pelican is also a huge body of water though. What are the other really famous popular lakes?
Big Cormorant's a great lake. And again, it's a big body of water. It's very clean. It's now seeing some development. It didn't have very many large lake homes on it. That's changing. I suppose there's 15 seven-figure lake homes on that lake now, and a few years ago there was none.
It's the shorter commute to Fargo Moir, huh?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have what is the most rewarding thing of a lake to you? What does a lake give you?
Well, the rewarding thing to me is when I place a proper buyer in their proper lake home, and they come to me 5 years later, and I haven't seen her for a while, and they give me a hug and thank me for finding their lake home for them. That gives me more pleasure than anything. I have one particular individual that's been 20 some years, and every time I see them, they, oh, Jack, thank you.
So actually making, kind of sharing your lake life with people makes you happy. That's a reward.
Oh, big reward. Yeah.
But the lake itself, like, do you simply enjoy, I mean, you live on a lake, right? You said you live, the first lake was Pelican, and now you live on Big Detroit?
That's correct.
That true?
Yeah.
And you just look at it and that gives you everything? It's just looking at the water? Is that?
You know, that's a good point. I had a client. He owned a whole lake. It was called Lake 5. And I sold that for him. In fact, I advertise it all over the world. I talked to Jack Nicklaus. I talked to the Rockwell twins, one of the Rockwell twins who own Rockwell Manufacturing. And all of a sudden, they ended up selling it in the backyard to Fair Hills. Dave Caldwell was going through his old paperwork on his desk and found this brochure I'd sent him. And he said, Jack, is this still available? I said, sure, let's go look at it. Well, 3 days later, he bought it. And it consisted of 1,300 acres, a private lake of about 300 and some acres that was 60 feet deep. It was just a beautiful property. And a couple other private lakes that weren't as deep. But the man I sold it for was from St. Paul, and he owned manufacturing companies all over the United States and all over the world. He had them in Australia, Mexico, and he told me the reason he was alive, he was 80-some years old, because he could come to the lake after all his strenuous business activities and sit there and stare at the water and recharge his batteries. And that stuck in my head, and I said, well, that's a lot of it, you know. There's something calming about water, you know. You don't have to go swim in it, you don't have to ski in it. Just looking at it helps you recharge your batteries.
Okay, that's interesting, because we have really, I am sure when people come to you and they say, I want to have a lake home, what's the first question that you ask them back?
What do you want the lake to do for you?
Yeah, right, yeah, I get that. Now that's exactly what you described. Some people, and I think, very rewarding to just enjoy, and I like to look at the lake too. I mean, I have a small son, he likes to swim. I swim way less, but I get that. Yeah, the calming, and especially for a big businessman, isn't it? Like, we have in the north, we have the Bad Medicines, and we have the more like woody area. I think we see bears there once in a while. Not so much down here, but so those areas are more for the people that seek to be connected to the lake, right? And then down here, it's probably a little bit more noisy, more like water, active lakes. How would you describe the lake region?
Well, we're really lucky living in Becker County, because in Becker County, we have the change that goes from the prairie lakes to the forest lakes. So in the northern part of Becker County, and scattered throughout, we have various lakes that or in the southern part, that are forest lakes. A lot of trees. And then to the south, we run into the Pelicans and the Lydas, which is over in another county. But those lakes are sandy soil, sandy, no rocks, and not as many trees, in some cases, no trees. But great swimming, great sandy beach. So we have something in this part of the world for everybody, whatever you want the lake to be for you.
And that in a close proximity.
Correct.
They're like, okay, I see. So we are right on the edge. You said, I didn't even know that. So we have never thought about it. We have the prairie, you call it Prairie Lake, and then going to the forest. I get it. Yeah, so we have the open area, probably a little bit more windy. Why is it that we don't see more sailboats? Is it just because the lakes are not big enough? I'm from Europe. We have a lot of sailboats. We don't have all this motor, and we always the oil. But what do you think? Why is there not or surfers? Why are there not windsurfers? Has that been in the past, in the 70s?
Maybe we can blame that a little bit on the millennials.
That
have their nose in their computers and not out experiencing all the stuff. You used to have a lot of sail. We had a big regatta on Melissa that was, I think that was sponsored by Wallwork. And then we had another competing regatta on Pelican. And we don't even see those sailboats anymore. But those old sailboats required maintenance. And I think that poor millennials, they get dumped on all the time. But I think if they press a button and it doesn't start, they're not interested in it.
Okay, it's impatience, huh?
Correct.
It's an interesting, it's really fascinating. You're right. It has to be convenient. I kind of like the sail. I always wanted to sail a boat. I haven't done it yet. And I'm fascinated because, yeah, it is a lot of work. It's focus. Maybe you need two people. But it's way more work. You need the wind. You cannot just sail. Yeah. Push a button and then if it does. Yeah. Interesting observation. Yeah, there's definitely some truth to it, unfortunately. But we had a regatta on Lake Melissa every year.
Oh, yeah. We had a big regatta. And it was a big thing. They had trophies and then they had one on Pelican. And in fact, there's kind of a core that's still on Detroit, but you have one or two. It's hard to have a regatta. They need more people to come in for that. And my personal experience is I went and bought a Hobie Cat. And of course, they had to have the biggest, fastest, most complicated one, which is my personality. Got it out there and turtled it the first time I had it. So, and I had a girlfriend with me, and I never saw her again. She dumped me after that.
Oh, she didn't drown. Good. Sorry. Bad joke. Yeah. So she was not impressed in your sailing skills.
No.
And then you gave the sailing up.
Yeah, it sat there for a couple of years, banging all the time when the wind blew, and finally gave it away.
Oh, really? So you had it. Okay. Yeah, so you know. Yeah. Yeah. I just always, maybe like I grew up. Well, I don't know if I grew up, but like when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and I went on vacation, we went on vacation to the lakes in Austria, actually, my parents, or like Lake Garda in Italy. That's kind of large lakes. But when we were in Austria, I remember I made a surfboard license. We all have to have license in Europe for everything. But so like kind of a certificate, kind of a little schooling. And I started to windsurf, must have been 10, 11, 12. And I loved it. I never bought the whole equipment because we don't have a lot of lakes around. My point is, I have been looking into surfboarding and checking Craigslist and whatnot. I think there's available shops in Minneapolis, but yet I have maybe seen one windsurfer in 3 years on Big Detroit. I think that was it, one. And like Cormorant or even Detroit, they have a lot of wind actually because it's a big flat terrain. So yeah, I was surprised. But yeah, they like the jet ski now. Yeah, bring it in.
Everybody's in a hurry and they have to get their gratification instantly. It's just our world we live in right now.
Yeah. So, but now we have the other one. So, okay, we learn what lake life is today. It has to be a little bit louder. I always say a loud lake or a more quiet lake, I guess. Yeah, so you have another interesting anecdote. I learned about the regatta. I think it's a really great opportunity for me and for us to learn about your experience. Any other thing that you liked in the lake life of the 70s, 80s, 90s that you're kind of missing today? Do you miss the resorts? Do you think there was a shift from having more ownership than like visitorship?
Yeah, that's a good point too. That's something that I was part of and experienced. And when I started out, there were just short of 5,000 resorts in the state of Minnesota.
5,000?
Yeah, just short of it. It was, I can't remember the exact number. But I was selling 13, 14 resorts a year for a period of time there. And then all of a sudden, the value of the lakeshore with these resorts was recognized. So people started buying them and disassembling them and selling off the cabins and everything. So, for years, I'd have people come in and where either the husband or wife would have a job in town, and the other spouse would operate the resort, and it was a great life. I akin it to farming. You learn responsible with farming. You have chores. You learn responsibilities. You know you had to get out of bed and go to bed late at night to take care of the harvest. And it's the same with the resort. When it's harvest time, when the customers are in, you have to get up. You have to make sure their boats are clean, ready to go out so they can go fishing. I think the difference between a farm and a resort for learning responsibility is the kids also had to learn to talk to people. Where on the farm, all you had to do is operate the equipment. You don't have people to talk to. Mm-hmm. So I think that they talk about people having a good farm background. I think it's even more important if the people have a good resort background. Because not only did they learn responsibility about chores and doing things, hands-on doing things, they learn they have to talk to people.
Communication.
Yeah, so and communication is what it's all about today.
Connecting. So yeah. Okay. So you mean that there's not, so you mean that resort owners, there's nobody able to do it or interested to do it, or they failed doing it? Like, why don't we have so many resorts anymore?
Well, we don't have them because people broke them up for financial reasons. They became worth more money.
Okay.
If you can sell off the lakeshore. And I think the last time I heard, there were like 780 in the state of Minnesota licensed resorts.
Okay.
So I made a good living selling resorts, but all of a sudden I ran out of inventory.
I have a feeling that, I mean, everybody's dream or passion, or they like to be on the lake. Like if you look at Fargo Moorhead or further, the weekend is reserved for lake life, whether they own a cabin yet or they come to Detroit Lakes, be at the Mile Beach, enjoy the Zorbises and whatnot. Do you see maybe, because I have a feeling there's like kind of a renaissance for resort. I think there's a resort opportunity, maybe a little bit more stylish, maybe a little bit more contemporary. I'm not a camper myself, but would you think that people would be interested in going to a resort for a weekend again?
If you talk to a lot of the resort owners or campground owners, they're full.
Huh.
And, you know, I've always made the statement, maybe arrogantly, but that 80% of the people in North Dakota work all their life so they could retire to the lakes.
Yeah. So everybody wants to be here.
Everybody wants to be here.
Yeah, as much
in June, July, and August.
Yeah.
Not January, February. Although we have a ski mountain now that's working in Detroit Lakes, so.
Yeah.
The success of that shows that there is interest.
Yeah, that's true.
Not everybody wants to go down south and get sunburned.
Yeah. That's another problem then.
Yeah.
No, and I think we have lake life year round for sure. And I learned about 200 and plus miles of groomed snowmobiling trails in Becker County alone. And I think that's fascinating. So you can make, I don't think you could probably go to Park Rapids on a snowmobile trail. You can enjoy so much scenery in the winter. And then there's all those cross-country opportunities here around the area and the mountain now. And well, I'm not a real ice fisherman. Have you ever ice fished?
Oh yeah, the first 13 years of my life, the intent was, my life as a real estate agent, my intent was to ice fish, snowmobile, race snowmobiles in the wintertime and sell real estate in the summer. Well, that only lasted a couple of years. I found out real estate is a year-round business.
Okay.
So
yeah, I don't really get the kick out of ice fishing. I don't know why, but yeah. So there's plenty to do, though. I mean, and I'm not judging. It doesn't matter. You see, and I coming from Europe, my father even or friends, or if I send pictures with cars on the lakes and like those little, let's call it villages, it doesn't freak me out. But it's always fascinating to me that the lake can freeze so thick that we just can land a jumbo jet on it and nothing would happen, or they plow big Detroit with this big vehicle. I think it's fascinating that a whole little town, and now we have a bar even on, I think it's Lida.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely year-round.
I had a customer friend, client from Belize. He built the Fort George Hotel down there, which became a Radisson. It's been the main center of of all the activities in Belize over the years, a lot of deals were made in that bar. But he's come up a couple times to visit me, but he came up in the wintertime specifically to walk on the ice. And he could not believe he can walk on ice, you know. And so here we are, and it's 20 below zero, and he's out walking very gingerly on the ice, and he couldn't understand why he didn't slip and fall down. But then I showed him the concept where if you take a dry ice cube, you can hold it in your hand. You take a wet ice cube, you can't hold it in your hand. Well, he understood why the ice wasn't slippery. Mm. You know, and then, of course, when I told him he was standing in 30 feet of water, he turned white as a ghost.
Yeah, so, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I really enjoyed your stories. I hope maybe to see you again, speaking about real estate in the future. Definitely very interesting history. You want to add something? You want to add something to this interview?
Well, it's, you know, at my point in my life, you got to start me on a track. You get me started on a track, and then I could go from story to story. But thank you for the opportunity to talk to the audience, and I think that I still have a lot of knowledge to share about the lakes, and I have a lot of passion for the lakes. There's not too many people that can say they've swum in most of these lakes, which I have. So I can, you know, it's when you're buying a piece of property on the lake in the wintertime, you better have an agent who's going to be around, who tells you that the lakeshore is good, who's going to be around when this the lake thaws and you have to look at the lakeshore. So you got to trust the experience of the agent you're working with.
You are still leading a little sales team. I think you're an asset and an expert. That's for sure. So people can reach you if they're interested in finding their lake life. I think jackchiversrealty.com is not really hard to Google, and we see your signs and you're available.
Or for those old-fashioned people, it's 218-847-3112.
The phone number, yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. Say it again, 847...
218-847-3112.
Yeah, I just want to make sure people can write it down. No, I'm just kidding. They can actually go back here. That this is technology. That we have a podcast going. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I hope people will take opportunity or advantage, I should say, of you as an asset to the local area with 50 years of local experience, knowing all the lakes, and asking people what they want out of the lake before they actually decide on that they want to be on that lake, because they may not know. Very insightful. Thank you very much for coming, and yeah, have a great weekend.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Thank you. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.